everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for Happy Hour with Dr. T. This is Tuesday, which is guest day on Happy Hour, where we invite special guests, a Christian author, Christian businessmen or women, or a pastor to join us, share their wisdom, and to share a word of prayer with us. I hope by now you've all joined our new Tenpenny Prime membership that we started after the first of the year. Our podcasts are aired daily at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday, and we post daily on Substack little things for you to read on Eye in the Evidence, which is drtenpenny.substack.com. And then on Sunday, I post my Sunday Substack, which is just my give back to the Lord. If you are a member, all you need to do is stay the same way you always have. Go to drtenpenny.com and go log into your membership area. If you want to join us and become a new member, go to shoptenpenny.net. And at the top, there's a membership area where you can read all about the membership and hopefully you will join us. We plan to make 2025 the year of knowledge, empowerment, and action. And so we thank you for your continued support. So before I introduce to you today's special guest, Charles Crismeyer, the author of the new book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, we're going to take a quick break. This is going to be really interesting. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Well, welcome back, everyone. Charles Crismeyer is a wide-ranging and diverse background. He's been a public school teacher, a successful trial attorney, president of Save America Ministries, and most recently, a radio broadcaster. In 1992, he was called to the ministry to plead the Lord's case and to be a voice for the church. His daily show called Viewpoint has been referred to as the prophet of our times. The author of many books. In fact, he told me he's now working on his 12th book. And with this latest book that we're going to talk today, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, Chuck says what makes it life hard for Christians in America is the secular progressives who are committed to their own religious system and refuse to accept any dissent. Boy, is that spot on. So Chuck, welcome today so much to Happy Hour with Dr. T. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Well, Dr. T, it's good to see your smiling face.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You must really be happy.
I pretty much am most of the time.
That's good. So am I.
We have our, you know, like any other human, you have your ups and downs, but it's mostly a good thing. So I really love your website, which is saveus.org. I mean, first of all, it's an incredible name. It's a great website in a way.
Thank you.
Saveus.org. That starts with your mission statement. Save America was established as a nonprofit ministry dedicated to rebuilding the foundation of America's faith and freedom with a powerful message. Tell our audience a little bit about how you decided to start that and came up with such a strong mission statement.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I was practicing law for 20 years there in Southern California, but it actually began when I was running for the state legislature in 1977 in California. It's the second time. And during that time, the Lord spoke to my heart. I know that sounds strange that God would speak to the heart of an attorney, but it is true. We can have our humor about it. But he spoke to my heart and said, "Son, I want you to plead my cause. I want you to speak to my church at large, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear." And right out of the book of Ezekiel, and it so gripped me, I didn't know what to do with it. I really didn't know what to do with it. I grew up in a pastor's home, had almost major in religion at a church-related college, became a Christian when I was 5 years of age, as did my wife. And so things were sort of regular business as usual Christianity. We were going to church regularly. I was speaking throughout Southern California as a Christian businessman. But the Lord really spoke to my heart very profoundly, so much that I started looking around, talking to friends. What could this possibly mean? Speak to my church at large, whether they will hear, whether they will forbear. So I said, "Okay, Lord, whatever you say, whatever opportunities you give." And he gave me little tiny little opportunities from time to time, and I would seize those opportunities while I continued to practice law for the next 15 years.
Wow.
And in 1992 came the moment of truth. I received a very unusual call from the head of one of the evangelical organizations in Southern California, asking me to come to speak to their church. And here's what he said. This is the first time ever somebody asked me to speak on a particular subject. They said, "I want you to speak to our congregation concerning the Christian and the political issues of the 90s." Well, I didn't want to do that because I had long since left politics. I was pursuing the kingdom of God with everything that I had. I was speaking throughout Southern California and so on. And so I said, "Lord, what do I do? What do I say? Because I don't want to give some business as usual political talk here." And he showed me what to do. And that is to take the issues of our time and wed them together with the authority of God and His Word, so that the Holy Spirit would have the something to work with and work on to touch the minds and hearts of the people. That actually became my modus operandi. And for the past 30 years on the air, Dr. T, that has been my approach. I give an opening statement, I present the issues and so on, both documentary and testamentary and so on, just like a lawyer would do to a jury of his peers. And then I make a closing argument, but people don't realize that's what I'm doing.
Oh, wow.
See? And so it flows, it has been the modus operandi, and it actually causes the word of God to come alive in ways that otherwise it would not.
Wow. That's really true, because people want to know, how do I take this book and all these things that were written 2,000 years ago and apply them to what's happening
Exactly.
in life today? And
Did
I
I
think,
do a good job of
yes, you did.
it?
It really did. So when I read through your book, you make a strong point that goes along with the title of your book, "When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times." And yes,
Right.
viewers, I have it right here, and I've kind of skimmed through a lot of it. It says most people, you said most people of faith realize the tide is changing in the U.S. and that persecutions are on the rise. And you make a lot of, there's a lot in your book about different types of persecutions.
Right.
And how do you see this unfolding? And what are some of the methods of persecutions that you describe in your book?
Well, the interesting thing is that actually most people, most Christians do not sense it as persecution per se. What they sense is there is a culture war going on with opposition to basically a conservative or Christian viewpoints. But they don't perceive it necessarily as persecution until it comes home to roost for them. So how does that happen in the United States? It doesn't happen the same way here that it happens in Nigeria, that it happens in India or Iraq or Gaza or anywhere else. It happens through what we call lawfare. So we see that the very same thing that happened politically with regard to the attacks on our first experience of Donald Trump, and then everything in between that to even now, everything is happening through lawfare, attack using the courts, using the law in spurious ways to try to shut down truth. And it's done in the name of, we could call it broadly the culture wars, but actually it's done in the name of the rejection of the authority of God and his word. So the culture wars actually are really a manifestation of the progressive rejection of the authority of God and his word. And it's not just in the secular realm, it's in the church. And that's why the Lord called me to speak to his church, because believe it or not, the word obey has fallen on extremely hard times in God's house, such that at least 8 or 9 pastors on my program live had admitted that the word obey is the most hated word in the church today. Yet it is the one word that Jesus said would please him, that would please the Father. In fact, Jesus said, I didn't come to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. I don't say anything I don't hear him say. I don't do anything I don't hear him do. And then when he left, he said, as the Father sent me, even so I send you. So you see, what Jesus had called us to do was obey him. That's the essence of discipleship. But discipleship has fallen on very, very hard times in God's house. So much to the admission even of many evangelical leaders, one being the leader of one of the largest evangelical groups in the world, confessed several years ago after a study was done, they had utterly and totally failed at discipleship. Totally.
Well,
so,
you know, it's so true, because churches, when they have like a discipleship course, it's like a Wednesday
right.
night series or
Yeah.
something. That
Well, you know what it is? It's not a discipleship course at all, usually. What it is trying to teach that particular congregation's ways and doctrine and so on.
Right.
It's not necessarily discipleship. It's inculcating a particular view, but it's not teaching the Bible per se. And so we're in a very difficult situation. And the implications of it, Dr. T, are that God's people, professing Christians in this country, are not prepared for any significant persecution. Just not prepared. And why? Because we think somehow that that couldn't possibly happen to Americans the way it's happening elsewhere in the world. It couldn't possibly be that, like what's happening in Nigeria, which is the 7th most dangerous country in the world for Christians, believe it or not, Nigeria. 4,000 people have lost their lives in the last year or so in Nigeria. And another guy is now being hung. He's getting ready to be hung, a Christian man, because he defended himself against a Muslim mob that was well known for persecuting Christians.
Oh, wow.
They're going to hang him. And so this just came out in the news today. So persecution is coming all over the world. But let me give you your viewers another viewpoint on this. Just recently, I had the premier Orthodox Jewish voice, English Jewish voice from Jerusalem, join me on my program, Viewpoint. And so I asked her, her name is Tamar Yona. And she has her own radio station there and is renowned there in Israel as an Orthodox Jewish voice. So we were talking about anti-Semitism, and she interrupted me and she said, Chuck, here's what we say in Israel. What they're doing to the Saturday people today, they're soon going to be doing to you, the Sunday people, tomorrow.
Wow.
Yeah. So in other words, from her perspective, persecution, you better get ready because it's coming. You see, persecution to Jews is called anti-Semitism. That's all it is persecution of Jews because of their ethnicity and because of their religion. So here we are in America. We think somehow that we're the exceptional nation, so exceptional that we're the exception to even God's rule. So we don't believe that any of these difficult things are going to happen. Even many of our pastors are telling us, you're not going to have to be concerned about persecution. You're not going to have to be concerned about that because you're out of here. You don't have to be worried about that. Well, guess what? they're disagreeing with what Jesus said, because Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Why do you think that you should be different than your Lord? And he didn't just say that in one place. He said, look, blessed are you when all men shall say evil of you and come against you falsely for my name's sake. Blessed are you. Why? Because you're aligned with me and what I stand for. Guess what? Almost nobody is persecuted in the world for believing in God.
So, what's God's purpose for allowing this persecution?
Here's the rest of that story, though. What people are persecuted for is believing in Jesus. But not just believing in Jesus, believing Jesus. You see, there's a difference between believing in Jesus and believing Jesus. If you believe Jesus, you're going to do what he says. If you don't believe in him, you just believe in him, but you don't believe him, you're going to do whatever you want. You're going to let your feelings be your Lord. And that's what subjects Americans and American Christians to the avalanche of persecution. So, your question.
So what does what's the purpose in God allowing this persecution?
Very good question. Very good question. Obviously, God has allowed persecution throughout history. The early church was persecuted to the max. Jesus was persecuted. Why? Because they rejected the authority of God as represented through the Savior of the world. So, God uses persecution for a number of reasons, a number of things. First of all, it's to determine, it's to strengthen us to determine whether or not we really believe. Are we really his followers or are we not? Are we just social Christians? Are we just Sunday go to meet in churchianity? You see, and that's where we are today in America. That's the reason why, for the past 20 years, almost all of the studies, including George Barna, all of these other studies concerning the cultural interrelationships between the church and the world, find that there's almost no distinguishing factor between the life of professing believers and that of their non-believing cohorts. Go figure, which means we're just open sesame, so to speak, to the nefarious ends of persecution. It's a testing, it's a trial. The Apostle Peter put it this way: don't be surprised concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. No, this is not strange. This is to be expected. This is proving that you are truly following the Lord. If you're not truly following, why would they persecute you? There's nothing to persecute. You're just one of us. Huh?
So how does persecution serve as a sign of our authentic relationship with Jesus? Do we want to be persecuted so that
No,
we can stand
no.
up?
Who? No, because that would be like spiritual sadism, wouldn't it? Or masochism. That would be spiritual masochism. No, even Jesus didn't want to be crucified. Not really. In his flesh, right there in Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be possible, deliver me from this cup. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Jesus sweat great drops of, as it were, of blood, because he realized what was coming. So it's not that we want to somehow urge on the persecutors. On the other hand, neither do we want to conduct ourselves in a way that shows that we're fearful of persecution or that we will do everything possible to avoid it. Because the moment we do that, is the moment we start marketing our faith, just like what's happened for the past 50 years in our churches, the marketing of the gospel to water it down, to make it palatable, to try to seduce people into our congregations who are not truly committed to Christ and have never confessed their sin and are not truly saved.
Yeah, and I think that so many of today's modern churches, they view themselves as entertainment, to have the best music and have the light shows and have, all the speakers. And so
Right.
instead of really being teachers of the word, they feel that what draws people in is the entertainment value.
Right. Which means they're pandering to the culture.
Yes.
They're not preaching Christ, they're pandering to the culture in the name of Christ. That's a dangerous thing because it amounts to deception. So when we water down the instructions of the word that are there to guide us, to direct us, even right now, as I'm writing this new book, The Power to Overcome, I'm dealing with a chapter called The Carnage of Defeat. What happens if we don't overcome? Let's look at a picture of what America looks like because we are already defeated. We've accepted defeat as a way of life. Why is it the divorce rate in the Bible Belt of America for the past 25 years has exceeded the nation as a whole by 50%? Why is that? The very Bible Belt of America. How is it that in Dallas, Texas, the buckle of the Bible Belt, in the last 9 months, 11 of the most prominent pastors and evangelists in the world have fallen out of grace and out of the ministry?
Wow, how
How
many?
is that possible? 11. It
Oh my
was so
goodness.
prominent that the Dallas Morning News carried it as a banner headline.
Oh wow.
You have no idea. People have no idea what's really happening. It's almost like we're playing pretend like 2-year-olds and putting our hands over our face and saying, "Look, God, you can't see me."
Oh yes. Yes, I
So, you could say, well, that's persecution. No, that wasn't persecution. They didn't obey God. They yielded to the flesh instead of the spirit. And the carnage has, it's like dropping an atom bomb in the midst of the ocean and causing the massive waves to surge all across the world to diminish and demean the name of Christ. That's what just happened out of Dallas, Texas. And that's just one city.
Well, I didn't, I've been following a little bit of that, but I didn't realize it was that many. But you're right.
Oh,
That's just,
that's just one region.
yeah, one region.
I did a whole program on that just a week ago. I didn't name a single name, and I didn't name any of their congregations because the purpose was not to demean people or be a muckraker. The purpose was to help God's people come to grips with the reality of where we are. This is the reason, Dr. T, why the Lord spoke to my heart back there in 1970, said, "I want you to speak to my church at large, whether they will hear or whether they forbear, because they're most rebellious." God told Ezekiel to speak to his church, the Jewish people, for the very same reason. And we're at this moment. Do we believe that we're on the near edge of the second coming of Jesus Christ? If we really believe that, would we not be willing to take a harder look at our lives? The Apostle Paul said, we should not be conformed to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if we're doing that, if we're real sincere in that, then we're going to be prepared for the hard times to come. If we don't do that, it's going to hit us like a ton of bricks, and the
You know,
majority are going to fall away.
I think so many people have just been beat up and beat down during this whole COVID nonsense,
Oh, yeah.
and they bought into the fear. You know, I preached loudly on very big stages all the way through COVID, saying that, you know, Bible says fear not almost 300 times.
Right.
Take that fear and lay it at the foot of the cross and ask Jesus to extract that spirit of fear from you. You know, and get that out of your life. And you
I'm
were.
so glad you brought that up. Look what happened. The tyranny of fear compelled Christians to receive an ungodly, tested vaccine that has caused, according to the most recent studies, caused more damage and more death than the COVID thing itself.
Yeah, well, you know, even at the very because that's kind of my thing, you know, is I've been studying about preaching about t writing about all sorts of stuff, problems with vaccines for 25 years. It's kind of my name to my claim to fame, you know,
Oh, okay.
the highest.
Now I know who you are.
Yes, that's me. And I during COVID, you know, I was telling people, you know, If you decided to be injected with this bioweapon, and you did it because you thought you wanted to travel, or you wanted to, keep your job that you've been complaining about for 20 years, or because you got peer pressure from your family,
Right.
you have violated the temple of the Holy Spirit in a big way. You violated your temple with an experimental product that now we know is absolutely deadly. The death rates continue to climb, even though
Right.
COVID as an infection, which was only the death rate from COVID as an infection was 0.2%. And we know that the death rate from the jabs have continued to rise.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I think
Okay, but you're talking about fear. You see, the motivation was fear or
fear.
justifying, well, I want to do this and I want to do that, and I'm not going to be able to do this and I'm not going to do that because of, and so we justify it. Well, I'm going to. Now, here's the problem. What happens when the mark of the beast comes through?
Exactly, and that's
You
exactly
see,
what I said.
all that was a training ground
Trial.
to reveal to us how weak we really are.
100% dead on right.
So
100%.
when I write the book, when persecution comes, it doesn't say if it comes.
Right.
Jesus said it's coming. Peter said it's coming. Paul said it's coming. James said it's coming. John said it's coming. They all said it was coming. Hello, anybody listening out there? So God, in his mercy, Dr. T, is allowing us an opportunity right now before it gets terribly serious in this country, an invasion. Before it comes to that, he's giving us an opportunity to get ready, to prepare. And how do we do that? What do I do? That would be the question. So right in the heart of the book are three chapters. One is dealing with parents, parenting in perilous times. We're the number one people, parents, grandparents. I take this very seriously, always have. We have three daughters, we have 10 grandchildren. Are they all following what they should be doing? No, they're not. Are all God's children following what he wanted them to do? No. But as many as will walk with him, they are going to be called the sons of God. They're going to have the authority to walk in his light. So, question is, what are parents going to do? The responsibility is a non-delegable duty. So parents now need to take serious. This book is perfect for that. They can read this book with their kids. They can ask questions. That every chapter is followed by a lot of
I
questions.
wanted to mention that how I love really love the way that you've laid this out because, and I just flipped open to a chapter here, but at the end of the chapter for the listeners, I'm saying this for the listeners, it says probing thoughts for whatever the title of this was, probing thoughts for prophetic times or probing
Right.
thoughts for so, and you can go through each one of those, and those would be delightful things to do, especially with your teenagers. And
Yes.
people at that age group where they are old enough to think and have enough life experience behind them to really look around and see what's going on.
And there'll be no end of questions that you'll have.
Exactly. Another thing you said in your book, speaking about fear, is you said you refer to fear as the heartthrob of spiritual fa failure. The heartthrob of spiritual
It
failure.
is.
What does that mean?
It means that fear actually is the, shall we say, the subterranean motivation of virtually everything that will cause us to renege on our faith, that would cause us not to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, that would cause us not to obey His voice. We're afraid. Afraid of what? Well, we're afraid of what people will think. We're
Yeah.
afraid of what might happen. We're afraid that God won't protect us. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. And the Bible says fear has torment. So people are tormented by fear and they don't realize that. Why do you think that doctors, doctor, why do you think that doctors are now attesting to the fact that anxiety and fear are troubling the American people, are troubling our young people such that anxiety medication and all of this kind of stuff is just basically flooding the market for Christians as well. and that suicide is exploding. Why? Jesus said exactly that would happen. He said men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. That's what Jesus said. I just verbalized what Jesus said. Do we really believe that? Did Jesus know what he was talking about? Or was that just for anybody else other than Americans?
Yeah, very good. Well, that's a good place to take a quick break. We're going to take a really quick break here. Today, we're talking to attorney, radio broadcaster, longtime pastor, great Christian leader, Charles Krischmeyer, about his book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. We're going to take a really quick break. Everyone, stay with us. There's more to come. We'll be right back.
There are an awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases that they come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, it helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for.
Well, welcome back, everyone. This has just been great. I was so looking forward to this after listening to some of your interviews and to watch some of your podcasts. I was really looking forward to this, and particularly talk because I know that your radio show talks about current events and current times.
Right.
You write that there is a UN scheme to make Christians criminals. Do you believe that this is the catalyst that will usher in the one world government?
Well, it's one of the catalysts.
Okay.
It's one of the catalysts, and what it's following is the spirit of the secular age. Globalism is the driving force of secularism today. You eliminate all authority, God's authority, and what you have left is man's authority. Well, now you've got to fill up that gap that was left. Remember, nature abhors a vacuum. So you get rid of God, you get rid of his authority, and now the people have to trust something else. What are they going to trust? They're going to trust a global government. So you have, whether you call the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab calling for the Great Reset by 2030, whether you call it the UN's 2030 agenda, they're all looking for 2030. That's 5 years from now. Now, exactly what's going to happen in 5 years, I cannot tell you, but what I can tell you is that the powers of this age, the secular powers of this age, are working triple time to fulfill an expectation for a one world global government to be in place or be in the process of being put in place by 2030. What then will be necessary for that to be carried out? It's the power and authority is going to be delegated to one person. One person. And
So,
guess who that one person is going to be? The Bible tells us it's going to be a counterfeit Christ. It's going to be a surrogate Christ figure, someone who seems to be bringing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The Jewish people are going to see it that way. They believe that we're in a messianic age. They really do. I mean, in one of my books, I just lay it all out, quotes from all over the Jerusalem Post, the Rut Sheva, Israel National News, and quotes from everywhere how the expectation for the coming of Messiah is acute now. The latest, They looked to build a temple. Guess what? Just last week, the Sanhedrin, the group of 71 Jewish rabbis, wrote a letter to Donald Trump, puffing him up for what he is doing with regard to Israel. And I'm not coming against that, by the way, but here's what bothers me. They asked him to appoint a new court system for the world.
Oh my.
They call it a divine court.
So how do you see the current administration playing into all of these end time prophecies and all these things that are going
well,
on?
Well, I want to be very careful in responding to that question because people interpret it wrongly. Somebody might say, well, you're coming against Donald Trump, and I think very highly of Donald. No, I'm not coming against Donald Trump. I think a lot of the stuff he's doing is great.
Yes, me too.
I cheer him on. On the other hand, he's not our savior. And humankind, being what we are, we're looking for a savior. We really are. And so guess what? Right coming out of Israel last week came the words, is he going to save the world and bring peace on earth?
You know, it's so interesting. Right before the election, you know, I was involved in a lot of prayer circles and a lot of different things. And one of the things that I said to people was, you know, we have to be very, you know, we should pray for our leadership. But as in like the Israelites who wanted a king, are
right.
we looking to have a king? Because everybody else has one. And we want the king to fix everything. Because
exactly.
And position him to be kind of our savior, but not quite labeling him that, but thinking that that's what he's going to be.
We're dealing with something very, very delicate here in a sense, because we want to have good leadership. We want to pray for good leadership. We want to be able to trust our leadership within reason, but we realize they're human beings. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do, just like everybody else does. And so we've got to be very, very careful that we don't cast our care upon them as opposed to casting our care upon the Lord.
Yes.
The issue is trust, Dr. T. You know, we used to sing a song, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. You see, there is the dynamic duo, trust and obey, obey and trust. If we trust, we will obey. If we don't obey, we don't trust. And so it's two things going together. And guess what? Those two things actually reveal whether we truly believe or not. Did you know that the word believe and the word trust and the word faith all come from the same root word? They're just three facets of the same root word. And if they're not all operative in our life as Christians, our life is ready to collapse. In fact, those three things are like the three-legged stool of the Christian life. But guess what? If you sit on a stool that has three legs that aren't anchored together, what's going to happen? Those legs are going to splay out. You're going to fall. What anchors those three legs together? Obey. O-B-E-Y. That's what anchors them together. And if we're missing that word, that's why the enemy of our souls is trying to destroy our ability to obey. He doesn't want us to obey. He wants us to love. He wants us to think we're trusting, to think we're believing, to think we're walking by faith, when in fact, we're not, because we're not obeying.
You know,
that's what ties it all together. And that's what is going to be so necessary for people to be able to stand as persecution comes.
You know, towards the end of your book, you there's a statement about religion as the new politics.
Yeah. Tony Blair, the former prime minister of England, came out and said that. That was back when he decided to join Catholicism and left the Church of England and dedicated his life to the Pope. And so he came to the United States in New York and formed an organization composed of a number of what he chose to be the largest religions in the world. And his whole purpose was to meld them together as one acceptable, unifying religion for the purpose of globalism. That's what he
Wow.
said. That's what he said. So, do you think, Dr. T, with your brilliance and all of your training, do you not think that when that happens, those who have embraced this counterfeit, merged, collectivized religious form that excludes the total authority of Jesus Christ, do you not think that that will raise up the greatest persecution ever experienced in this world? It will. That's how it's going to happen. That's how it's going to happen in the West. We're already experiencing the earliest stages of that through lawfare, through progressivism, shall we say, that comes against conservative thinking and biblical truth. But when that is collectivized by a global government, I'm telling you, that's what's coming. And Bill Gates is facilitating it from a technological viewpoint. Do you know that in March of 2020, he filed a patent with the US Patent Office to merge in one technological capsule, so to speak, complete medical control and economic control in one thing so that a global government would be able to dictate and control all of those most important events sustaining life on the planet? That's his goal. And guess what? What do you think the digital world is about? The digital world is the closest that humankind can get to godhood.
Are you familiar with Naomi Wolf, and have you followed her work at
I'm
all?
familiar with the name. I don't know her. I haven't heard her howl as a wolf yet, but I have heard some of the things that she said. Yes.
She just recently, I just heard her yesterday, or maybe it was last week, on CNN's show talking about that she had gone to an AI conference in India where the top techie AI people were. And they are all operating from the standpoint that this is a done deal. It's already happened. It's not going to happen. It's already happened. And
That's right.
this is to eliminate 85% of all jobs in all industries. Which then all the rest of the people who are working in those jobs become what was said long ago about just being worthless eaters. And it's time to have them eliminated or transformed into transhumanoids. So this goes along with what you were saying about, the AI being the new God, because people look to AI now like they looked to Google in the 90s, but AI is an element above. And it's really kind of frightening. We just did a webinar a couple of weeks ago about AI and healthcare and how frightening that's going to be to just walk into a room with a computer that's sitting there and answers a bunch of questions and taking the human-to-human interaction out of that. Towards the end of your book, because I don't want to run out of time here, we're getting close to the top of the hour. I think
Go for it.
we could talk for many hours, I think,
Oh,
about
we
a lot
could.
of things I
You
believe.
and I could really talk.
I believe that's true. And towards the end of your book, you talk about hope and how we embrace hope in the midst of this global and national upheaval and the persecution that's coming our way.
That's very important because if we don't prepare with hope, then we prepare in despair. And despair is not part of the lexicon of human of followers of Jesus Christ. He came that may that we might have hope, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But it's not just about life here on this planet. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's happening in America is we're seeking the kingdoms of this earth and the blessings of America rather than the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God falls on short shrift. And so we are left when things don't work out well in seeking other things on this planet, then despair starts coming in and we become discouraged. And then we begin to wonder, what's God doing? Where's God in all of this? No, we have to keep the Lord front row and center. We're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. This world is not my home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door. And I can't totally feel at home in this world anymore. Yes, we're ambassadors to this world. We are. That's how my wife and I pray every single day. And that brings joy. We have a purpose. We have a plan. We're here to do the will of him that sent me. So we have hope. It's a hope that doesn't make ashamed, even when persecution comes. You see, those out there in the Netherlands, the other nations of the world, that are experiencing all of this kind of rabid persecution. Do you know that they have more hope than we do? Yes, they're experiencing pain. Yes, they're experiencing unrighteousness, but their hope is not set on what happens in America or what happens in India or what happens in Nigeria or what happens in North Korea. That's not where their hope is set. Their hope is fixed on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the Apostle John said, whoever has this hope in him will purify himself, even as Christ is pure. That's what the Apostle John said. He was the closest one to Jesus, more closer than Peter. He said, whoever has this hope in him will purify himself, even as Christ is pure. So that's what we need to do. We need to be walking with the Lord in the light of his word. What a glory he will shed on our way. When we do his good will, he'll abide with us still throughout it all and with all who will trust and obey. Not with those who won't, but those who will. See, Paul said, to will is present with me, but to do that which I will, well, that's tough. And we know that, don't we? We all know that because we hold this treasure in these earthen vessels. So that's where spiritual warfare comes in. If we're going to be overcomers over and over again, if you read in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia, you read chapter 21, it talks about to him that overcomes, to him that overcomes, to him that overcomes. Guess what? Our hope is based on overcoming because we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. If you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it talks about, you know, we're going to press toward the mark, and we're going to keep Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, before us, because he went through the persecution like we will. He did. That's what Hebrews chapter 12 is. He went through it. So we can look to him as the author and the finisher of our faith. I know it sounds like tough talk for troubled times, and indeed it is. These are troubled times. But you know what? This is a message of love, and it's a message of mercy. Because God's not willing that any should fall away. He's not willing that people who on the one hand, think they want to follow the Lord, but really aren't. He's not willing that you fall away. The Apostle Paul said there's going to be a massive fall away because people are weak. But God doesn't want you to be weak. He wants us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? And that's when we will walk in hope. I walk in hope every day. Every single day.
I can tell. Really. I mean, seriously, just from the short time that we've had together and the little bit I've listened to other interviews, you really walk your talk. And
Oh, thank you.
the way that you present, and you know, your trial lawyer comes through.
Does it really? Good.
I have a lot of friends that are lawyers, and the way that you lay out the case and the way that you present, you really walk your talk. You're really following and through with what the Lord called you to do, which is just delightful.
Thank you so much. You're such an encouragement, Dr. T.
Well, I mean what I say. I don't very often, I never just say something for the sake of saying it.
I believe that.
As we're coming down to the last bit of our time here, I want to encourage listeners to go to and get this book. This is really, really good. It's an easy read. It's a thoughtful read. You know, I interview a lot of authors, and I just love the way that it's laid out. And these questions in the end of each chapter are really thought-provoking. So again, it's called When Persecution Comes: Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. And where's the best place for them to be able to get this book?
Well, I would say the best place would be on my website, saveus.org.
Very
Save us, save US, not save USA, but saveus.org. And the reason I say that is because that's also where they can connect with the Viewpoint program. They can go to the archives and listen to some of those things just like you did. And that's where all our other books are available. All the other 10 books are right there. And people, their lives have been changed as they have grappled with those books. And I try to write in such a way, I'm so glad you recognize it. I break things down into small bites.
Yes,
I
absolutely.
have to read that way. You know, I don't have all the time in the world to just sit down and read for hours. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to sit and watch a video for hours on end. I want to distill it quickly. That's how the Lord speaks to me. And he speaks through his word, and I want the words to speak to other people. So
Well, they definitely do that.
easily readable.
I actually frequently tell people to go to Amazon. Read the reviews, go to the author's web page and buy directly from the author. Then after you read the book, go back to Amazon and write the reviews, because that's where all the eyeballs are. Because
What a blessing you are. You must be an exhorter.
I don't know about that, but I think that because that's the eyeballs are over there. And so go and write things and then drive people back to the author's website,
Exactly.
because that's
Wonderful.
it supports their work. It's where you can see everything in one place, and you might as well buy directly from the author rather than buying from the beast over here that we all buy from anyways. So,
There you go.
Chuck, I want to thank you so much. Before we close out tonight, could you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
I'll be happy to. Dear Lord, you've heard our conversation. You know what your heart is. You desire that none should perish, that all should come to repentance, that all should walk in victory, that all should walk in hope, that all should be blessed as they follow you and listen to the voice of your Son, just as he listened to your voice. So help us all, Lord, to walk in the midst of these troubled times, perilous times, as Paul said. You told us they were going to be like that so that we would be prepared. So help us to be willing in our own minds and hearts to prepare. And as moms and dads and as grandparents, and yes, even as pastors, Lord, we should somehow grip our minds and hearts to lift us out of the doldrums of our time, the business as usual churchianity, and to take seriously your call to our lives so that when persecution comes, our hearts will be prepared, our children and our grandchildren. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And Chuck, I want to thank you so much for being here and joining us tonight. This has just been delightful. And
Thank you. Me too.
I want to say thank you to all of our listeners and all of our followers, the people that have been following us now for, going on 5 years, but for all of the times that you've come and joined us on Happy Hour with Dr. T. I hope that so many of you become Prime member, 10 many Prime members, because your monthly and annual support is what keeps us giving all this special content to everyone. And with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Be patient in hope. Be Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again in the next time, we'll see you here next week, same place, same time, 11 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Till we meet again, lean into God, trust him for everything. He'll never let you down. Chuck, thank you again so much for being here. Thank you for your work and your mission for the Lord. And to everyone else, have a good week, everyone. Good night, good afternoon, and good bless.
Blessings.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.